You're about to experience a life-giving message from Bishop Kevin Foreman, the People's Bishop, pastor of Harvest Church. We exist to lead people to totally love God, love people, and love life as one church in global locations. Wherever you are, we are. Find out more on our website at www.harvestchurch.church or stay connected and get our mobile app by texting the word HARVEST to the number 55498. Your faithful giving is how we continue to bring life-giving messages like these to you. So bless what blesses you in our app or online at www.harvestchurch.church.
As I understand, there was a technical issue on Sunday, and so you got emails and texts, because I can assure you this, if you know anything about me, that will never, ever. If I could have had a cow, I would have had eight of them. I'm normally an aggressive driver, but when I got that message, I was an extra aggressive driver. So we'll make sure that things are in place. Thank you for understanding that we have an assignment that's bigger than this building, and we have an assignment that's bigger than this city. So thank you for understanding that I got to be in a multitude of places, but because we're hybrid, wherever you are, we are. So thank you for understanding that. Somebody say, I get it, Bishop, I get it. Do you not know that since we've had the transition and this temporary interim location, do you not know that we have reached and we have done more? No. Okay, put your hand up for a second. In this transitional time, we have done more, reached more. More people have gotten saved. We've done more in these last 18 months than years combined. What are you trying to say? That even for those of you that you're in some transitions right now, you better know that God is going to make sure that you come out ahead and that you come out on top. Elbow somebody close to you, say, don't be afraid of a little transition. Say, you're going to come out ahead. Matter of fact, for somebody, if you go check your account, you got more now than you've had in a long time. Come on, lift your Bibles. Let's make a confession of faith together. Let's go. I'm in my year of more. God will do more in me. God will do more through me. God will do more for me. In Jesus' name, amen. So God, we say, have your way. Get the glory out of everything. Speak, Lord. I need you to say it with authority. Say, speak, Lord. I need you to say it with power. Say, speak, Lord. Say, give me everything I need tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Grab a seat. Let's go to work. So this month's series has been Love God, Love People, Love Life, which are three phrases that are based on Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied after being asked, what are the greatest commandments in the scripture? See, you think of the Ten Commandments, but there were actually more than that. There were 613 mitzvah of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. In addition to that, there were 300 plus what are called oral laws or oral traditions that the rabbis added to that, plus the Ten Commandments. There were over 1,000 laws and statutes and judgments that they needed to keep and they needed to remember. And so they essentially say to Jesus, that's a lot. Somebody say, that's a lot. They said, Jesus, just tell us what is the most important, because if we get the first thing right, everything else will fall into alignment. And for some of you all, I need you to hear me. You've been so concerned about doing everything right, but if you just get this one thing right, everything else is going to fall into place. Jesus replied, here's the greatest. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And I've taught you that this is one of the few places in the Bible where heart, soul, and mind are separated or distinguished, because soul is inclusive of your mind, thoughts, will, and emotions. Heart is cardia in the Greek, K, not a C like we think of cardia or cardiac, and it literally means the mind. But here more specifically, it deals with your intentions, it deals with your arrangement, it deals with your order. So it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your arrangement, with all of the way you order your life, with all of your character, with all of your mind, with all of your thoughts, with all of your will, with all of your emotions, and with all of the order of your life. Pay attention. God says, you got to love me with all of you. Which means even the parts of you that sometimes don't want anybody to see. He says, love me with that too. They that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. And what's the truth? God, you get all of me. Even the parts of me that I don't even know if I can trust myself with those parts. Even the parts of me that I don't want nobody else to see. Even with my doubts, even with my insecurities, even with my fears. I just need you in this building and online. Say, God, you get all of me. Say that thing like you mean that thing Wednesday. Say, God, you get all of me. See, when you give him all of you, then you can get all of him. See, you only get what you give, which means when you hold out, heaven has to hold out. And this is why for some of you, you feel so far from God. It's not because he moved, you move. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll draw nigh, he'll draw nigh unto you. So if you move close to him, he'll move close to you just like that. If you'll give him glory, he'll make sure that you get glory just like that. He says, I will honor them that honor me. But those that dishonor me and disrespect me, I will dishonor and disrespect. God says, you got to release this thing in order to receive this thing. Verse 38, this is the first and greatest commandment. Here's the next verse. The second is like it. Notice the first, the second, which means there's an order to this. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as. The word as there means equal to yourself. So first we love God. Second, we love ourselves. Why? Because this is how you're going to love other people. Please keep up with me. Let's go. Because this is how you're going to love other people. Pay close attention to this because sometimes in culture, we're taught you need to put you first. Look at me. That's not Bible. That's not God. If you're first, you're getting ready to be last. I'll say it again for those of you in the back. If you keep putting you first, no wonder why you keep coming up last. You are not supposed to be first. Look at me. Your spouse is not supposed to be first. Your family's not supposed to be first. Your kids are not supposed to be first. God says, I only take the first seat. He's not your side piece. He's not your only on the weekends. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. God says, I will not be an accessory in your life. Either he's number one or God will say, listen, I'll fall back until you're ready for me to come in and take over. Come on, tell them Wednesday. Say, God, you're number one in my life. First, we love God. Then second, we love, listen carefully, ourselves, because this is how we're going to love other people. So if you don't love you, you're not going to love other people. And sometimes you can't be mad at people. Look at me. You can't be mad at people for not giving you what they don't give themselves. Because some people, they don't give themselves love, so how in the world are they going to give you love? They don't give themselves consistency, so how are they going to give you consistency? Let this be revelation for you, because sometimes you're wanting from people what they don't give themselves. So if I want to know how you're going to love me, I look at how you love yourself. Because if you're disloyal to you, you're going to be disloyal to me. If you lie to you, you're going to lie to me. If you're delusional with you, you're going to be delusional with me. Watch me. If you're back and forth and wishy-washy with you, you're going to be back and forth and wishy-washy with me. I want to tell somebody tonight, you need to test some of these people before you trust some of these people. Why? Because you're going to be disappointed because you're expecting from them what they do not give to themselves. Y'all with me? Okay. It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and you're looking at one of the server's hands and one of the chef's hands and you see that their hands look like they've been going through some things. You look up under them nails and you're like, that don't look like guacamole to me. Okay, what does that make you think? If your hands look like this, what are you doing with my food? Pay attention. You look at their hands to determine their habits. And the same thing is true as it relates to people. Sometimes you just need to study people. Before you decide to make them your friend, let me study you. Before you decide you're going to date them, let me study you. Before you decide y'all going to go steady, let me study you, because I need to make sure that you do you right, because if you don't do you right, you're never ever going to be able to do me right. And that should free some of y'all up, because you've been mad at people. Why didn't they do me like this? Baby, don't take it personal. They didn't do themselves right. There's no way they can do you right. Matter of fact, I dare you to just say, I forgive everybody that hurt me. Say, it wasn't me. It was them. You ever going through a breakup and somebody says to you, it's not you, it's me. They're telling you the truth. You're just saying that. No, they're telling you the truth. They're telling you they don't have the capacity to give you what it is clear that you need. And I'd much rather find out that you are quart and I'm a gallon than trying to fit my gallon in your quart. Okay, let's go. Sunday in the message, How to Love People, we learned that everybody wants love, but few people know how to love. And love often happens in the context of a relationship. Say relationship. A relationship is a decision to engage in perpetual connection, association, or involvement. So the first thing you need to know is every relationship is a decision. This means family relationships are a decision. Well, Bishop, you can't decide your family. Nope, but you can decide the type of relationship you have with them. Okay, a decision to engage, which means I have to decide to engage you. So make it your business not to engage with anybody that doesn't help you evolve. If you're not helping me get better, then by default, you're helping me get worse. He that does not increase you will decrease you. And this is your year of more, which means for some of y'all, I'm just not sure what to do. I'm gonna make it real easy. If they're not adding to you and increasing you, that's your answer. It's a decision to engage in perpetual connection, association, or involvement. Say, that's a relationship. And all relationships need these eight things. Number one, clarity. What does this relationship exist for? Number two, Christ. This relationship has to have God at the center because there's going to be disagreements. And if we can't both agree, and this is every relationship type, if we can't both agree that God is in the center and whatever he says goes, then this thing is never going to work. For those of you who try to, watch me, you try to give God less to appease a person, you're always going to be disappointed because you've made that person your idol. And the Bible says, and I will have no other gods before me. I will have no idols. What do you mean, Bishop? Every time you make this friend, you make this man, you make this woman, you make this whatever, you make that more important than God, that becomes an idol. So literally you're worshiping at them, watch me, because you're adjusting to them instead of adjusting to him. Y'all ain't gonna talk. It's because you're making sure you do what they want, but you're saying to hell with what you want, God. And God says, if that's the way you want to be, that's fine. But just recognize this thing is never, ever going to work. I wish you would, not want to offend your friend because now you found God and they haven't. Well, baby, you better come on with me and you better do this ride with me or I'm going to just have to come back and get you later. But I can't stay there. I can't stay down. Number three, contribution. This relationship has to have equal contribution. You're going to resent people that you feel like you do more for them than they do for you. And we don't have to do the same thing, but we got to do something. You can't always call me when you need something. The one time I call you, watch me, you only going to give me a 10-second conversation. Your mama, y'all ain't going to say nothing. I'm just playing. You can't always be paying for lunch. And the one time that you sit there and let the check come, they ain't got it. You got it. It's income tax time. I know you got it. Red Lobster parking lot is packed. Do you hear me? Clarity, Christ, contribution. Number four. Number four. Character. Okay, are they honest? Okay. People with character defects are going to gaslight you. What is a gaslighter? They're going to project onto you what they're doing. So when they cheat, they're going to be like, I know you cheating. When they lying, they'll be like, I know you've been lying to me. They got to project that stuff onto you, which means you have to pay attention to character defects. And this doesn't mean that you're perfect. This just means we can't be two liars together. We can't be two liars in this situation. Both y'all can't be. Somebody got to tell the truth. Or them lights going to be cut off because y'all lying about what money you got. Everything. Car going to get repoed because you're lying. I thought you paid it. You told me you paid it. No, I didn't. You're crazy. Friendships need character. If you don't trust them, why are you out to eat with them? Sometimes, everybody look at me. Sometimes you have to love people and just say, but I don't mess with you though. When I say mess with you, that's an urban colloquialism that means I don't deal with you. Sometimes you have to love people and just be like, I don't deal with them. What's going on with so-and-so? I don't know, but I don't deal with them. That's your cousin. I don't deal with them. That's your sister. Okay, I don't deal with her. That's your brother. Okay, I don't deal with them. Because if the character ain't right, that means the next one. That means the chemistry ain't going to be right. And when the chemistry's not right, what do you have? You have explosions. And for some of you, here's what's been happening in your relationships. Things explode, and you're like, how in the world did this explosion happen? It happened because the chemistry's off. Here's the question. Do you even like them? This is every relationship type. Like, how are you friends, and when you get around them, you can't stand them? It's too quiet in this building. How are y'all dating and you enjoy their absence more than their presence? You ain't gonna say nothing? How are you married and you like when you leave a house instead of when you go home? Y'all ain't gonna say nothing to me. That means there's a chemistry problem. That means this is not mixing. It's H2O, not H4, and that. Number six, competency. Competency. Look at me. Do they get it? Do they get it? Because many times we focus on number seven, clear communication. But communication doesn't mean anything if you're dealing with somebody that's incompetent. See, if you go down 25 for about a mile, and then you get down to the junction where you get on 225, and then you go take 225 south. See, that's where you had me messed up at right there, because if no, you missed it, because if there's no competency, there's never gonna be clear communication. Because you can tell them something all day, but they don't get it. So in a relationship, you'll be dating and they always hanging out with who they used to date. And you like, this is a problem for me. And they're like, I don't know what you got a problem for. You insecure. No, you just don't get it. You don't want a wife. You wanted a side piece. You should have made it clear. Y'all ain't going to say nothing because a wife wouldn't tolerate that. Y'all, okay. Y'all don't want to. I'm working harder than y'all shout. You got to be, watch me. You need competent people. You need friends that you don't have to tell them everything. They should be able to look at you and say, they get it. Touch your neighbor and say, God's going to give you people that get it. Okay, all right, let's have a lesson tonight. One, you're going to say a lot. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Number two, you're going to touch your neighbor a lot. For those of you online, stretch your hand towards me and type it in the comments. Why are you going to do that? Matthew 18 says, wherever two or three touch agreeing on anything, it shall be done for them. And the third thing you're going to do is you're going to push things with a praise, because praise is a pusher. Praise will make something happen faster, watch me, than just you knowing what to do. Praise will do what 2 Chronicles 20 says. It'll send ambushes against your enemy. So let's put all three together. I need you to touch somebody close to you, please. Stretch your hands online. And just tell them, say, God's going to send you people that get it. Push it with a praise. And push it real good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say, my circle is upgrading. Come on, let's go to work. Let's go to work. All right, here's number seven, clear communication. If you're on AM, they're on FM, and somebody else is on XM, you're not clear. Somebody sent me something the other day, and I had to take a minute because my initial response was pop, 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 shots fired. But then the Holy Ghost said, just wait a minute. And when I waited a minute, I said, okay, wait a minute, okay. And so I said, well, just talk to me about this in person. I said, because the way I'm reading this, this is for the pop, 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 shots fired, right? Say clear communication. Okay, this means sometimes before you react, you need to make sure that you comprehended, that you understood. Because sometimes it's a simple misunderstanding. And the song says, what I need from you is to do what? To communicate. What's the rest of it? Listen to the. Y'all need to read y'all's Bibles. God, say clear communication. Look at me. Most people think they're great communicators. You may be good to you, but clear communication is only clear if it's clear to who your audience is. So, watch me. So if I get in front of I was exercising today, and I was ran into some conferences, and this gentleman came up to me, and he started speaking Spanish. And I was doing my walk is like most people's jog, and so I was doing that. And so he said, obispo, I don't speak Spanish. I'm like obispo, I don't know. He was saying something, and I was like, but then he said, thank you, sir, thank you. So I said, you can speak English then, evidently. You sitting here playing these games with me. Here's the point. If I'm his audience and he's speaking a language I don't understand, he may be like, I'm being very clear. Glory a Dios, obispo. How do you say lift your hands? Levantes. Devante sang. Listen, lift your hands.
If I don't speak that language, it doesn't matter how clear you are if I don't speak that same language. And for some of you, like, they should know when I slammed the door, they should have knew I was mad. We don't speak in feelings and vibes. You grown. You need to open your mouth and say something. It's quiet in this building. All right, number eight, you need conflicts. Say conflicts. All right, conflicts reveal counterfeits. And one of the best things that could happen in any relationship type, in any friendship type, is a conflict. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 11 and 19 says, for there must be factions, that means conflicts, among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. Which means I don't know what I really have until there's a conflict. You can think you're in love until there's a conflict. You can think that's your friend until there's a conflict. We're about to give God a ridiculous praise. What do you say, ridiculous? Because we're about to give him glory. Watch me. For every conflict that we've had. Because what did it do? It revealed who were the counterfeits and who were the real fits. And I don't need you to be mad about the counterfeit. I'm glad it happened so you can see the real ones. On three, release a praise. One, two, three, go. Release that praise right there. Release that praise right there. I'm grateful. I'm glad. I'm excited. I'm so glad we had this disagreement. I'm so glad we had this misunderstanding. I'm so glad that we had this discord. I'm so glad we had conflict. I never would have known what I had unless there was conflict. You ready? So on Sunday, we focused on two things, loving friends and family. And to wrap this series, I want to focus on something called unusual love. Say unusual love. Because that's the type of love that we all want. What do you say we want that, Bishop? I'll tell you why. Unusual means this. It means remarkable or interesting because it's different from and better than others. You don't want what somebody else got. You want something that's remarkable, interesting, different, and better. And there's one word that makes unusual love. You ready for it? It's called trust. Who you gonna trust? Let's be honest. We've all been wounded by actions and we've all been wounded by words. Wave at me in the building if you've been wounded. Wave at me online if you've been wounded. If you haven't been wounded, you haven't been living. We've all been wounded. So the first thing you need to do is realize you're not the only one. The enemy wants you to think it's just you. You're the only one that's been dropped. You're the only one that's been abandoned. You're the only one that's been lied to. You're the only one that's been lied on. And the devil is a liar. You ready for this? I just need you to find somebody close to you. Point to them and say, I've been through it too. Tell them, I've been through it too. Online, type it in the comments. I've been through it too. We've all been wounded. And look at Jeremiah 10 and 19. Woe is me because of my hurt. Now, first thing you got to do is recognize that you're not the only one that's been hurt. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because his assignment makes him weep. This is a good place to give God a praise. Let me tell you why. It's because just because it's God doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Just because God calls you to do it doesn't make it any easier to do. And here's why I want you to praise him, is that even though what you have to do is difficult, you're anointed to do it, which means you make it look easy. You make being a mother look easy. You make being a father look easy. You make being a business person look. Is there anybody in the building or online where the truth is what you're doing isn't easy? It's difficult, but God gives you the grace and he makes it easy for you. Slap somebody a high five. Say, you got this. You got this. Woe is me because of my hurt. No, Jeremiah, it's not really woe is you. So we got to get you out of your woe is me. Woe is really why. Why is this happening to me? Question, Jeremiah, why is it not happening to you? Because what hurts you deepest helps you most. I'll say it again. What hurts you deepest helps you most. If Joseph's brothers wouldn't have thrown him into a pit, he never gets sold into slavery. He never gets sold into slavery. He never gets thrown into prison. You say, Bishop, all that's hurtful. Yep, it was hurtful until one day Pharaoh said, come here, I'm about to make you prime minister. Which means what hurt him deepest is what actually helped him most. Lift your hand and say, I thank God for what hurt me.
woe is me because of my hurt, which is really, why is this hurt happening to me? He says, my wound is grievous. Grievous means I'm grieving because I've been wounded by somebody's actions or by somebody's words. And grieving is our process to loss. It's our natural response when we feel like we're losing something. Woe is me because this looks real. Woe is me. This is safe, right? Okay. This don't that look real? My God. Come on, props. Woe is me because of my hurt. Why is this happening to me? Well, first thing is, what if you needed a wound to see that you were living? I'll talk over here because these people don't shout. What if you needed to feel something just to be reminded that you can feel something? Sometimes you got to feel something just so that you know you're not in the depression you thought you were in, because I felt that. You're not despondent like you thought you were, because I felt that. You're not detached like I felt that. Woe is me because of my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is an affliction, and I must bear it. Now, here's the truth. The thing about wounds is that it's normally not just one. It's normally several. You got stab wounds all on the front. You got wounds on when you were trying to help somebody, and when you tried to help them, that ended up wounding you. You got wounds around your head because people said stuff that even though people say sticks and stones might break my bones, my words may never hurt me, the truth is words will wound you deeper than physical pain. Because a word wound will be with you 30 years later. You'll be 40 still talking about what your daddy called you when you were 12. Talk to me, y'all. You'll be 30 still talking about what your mama said when you were a little girl. You'll be in a new relationship still remembering what your ex said you weren't, and ain't nobody gonna want you, and this and that and all that. The head wounds are often the worst wounds, because these are wounds that taunt you. These are wounds that haunt you. But I got news for somebody. You about to be healed from that thing. Watch me. I dare those of you in the building and online that believe that God can do in one day what he hasn't done in years. Open up your mouth, lift up your hands, and say, heal me, God. Say it again, say, heal me, God. Say it again, say, heal me, God. I need to store your faith for a moment. So please, would you just go to three people and say, he's about to heal you. He's about to heal you. He's about to heal you. Go to three people. He's about to heal you. He's about to heal you. Type it in the comments. He's about to heal you. Store your faith. You've been carrying these wounds for too long. You've been dealing with these wounds for too long. You've been stuck in this stuff for too long. This is your year of more, and you are about to come out. Come out of every wound. Somebody shout, heal me, God. So how does he heal you? How does he heal you? You can be seated. How does he heal you? How does he heal you? How does he heal you? It's right there in the verse. And I must bear it. In other words, somebody say, it's mine to deal with. Talk, say, it's mine to deal with. I must bear it. Here's the crazy thing about you. Is that while you got your wounds, you so anointed, you're so gifted, you're so talented, you're so skilled, you helping other people. You're helping other people get their wounds together while you're wounded yourself. What if I told you that was a seed? Because if you can't help somebody else heal, you don't qualify for your own healing. Look at the screen. He says, and I must bear it. Say, I have to bear it. So what does this mean? Number one, I have to accept it. I have to accept it. Most people can never heal because they're never real. You're not honest about the fact that that hurt. I'm straight. I'm good. I'm good. Right? You are so bent on being Superman or Superwoman that you won't admit that you're bleeding. And the danger when you don't admit that you're bleeding is that you'll bleed out, because you never did anything to stop the bleeding. So you need to accept it. They left you. Good. Accept it. You need to accept it. They lied on you. Accept it. You ready for this? You wanted them. They didn't want you. Accept it. Your cousin did you dirty. Accept it. They still ain't paid you that money back, and you know they got that income tax because they were in the Red Lobster parking lot the other day. Getting endless shrimp. Accept it. Like, but see, what is he talking about? I'm just making it up. Accept it. Accept it. Accept it. You were treated differently than your siblings. Accept it. Accept it. Accept it. You were handled differently on your job. Accept it. Because I can't forgive what I haven't accepted. I can't forgive you for doing something wrong if I won't accept that it was wrong. And my acceptance of it has nothing to do with your admission of it. Which means you don't have to admit that you were wrong. I just have to accept that it was wrong. See, there are some people you're waiting on an apology on. You're going to just have to heal without the apology because there's no apology coming. Yep, they finna apologize to me. They might, but they probably won't. Because we live in a culture where to apologize is seen to be weak. Accept it. And then forgive. What does forgiveness mean? Everybody look at me. Most Christians have been taught a demonic definition of forgiveness. What do you mean demonic? Because it's not a biblical definition of forgiveness. The word forgive means to release someone from torture or punishment. So when I forgive you, what I'm really doing is I'm saying I'm giving up the desire to hurt you for hurting me. I'm giving up the desire to want to snap your neck because... See, I'm giving it up. I don't even want to do it anymore. I'm giving up the desire to want to run you off the road into the Cherry Creek Dam. I need you to get it. No, I'm serious. I need you to get it. I'm giving up the desire to want to go live about you for lying about me. I'm just giving examples. Just giving examples. Somebody say, I give that up. Ooh. Four of y'all said it. Everybody say, I give that up. I'm giving up the desire. I'm giving up the desire to want to hurt you for hurting me. Because the more I don't forgive you, here's what I do. Here's what I do. Here's what I do. I keep rewounding myself. Because you got too much power over me. Because when I'm at work, I'm thinking about you. They slept good. You up at night. There are 8 relationships later, you still tripping over it. You ready? I'm giving up the desire to want to hurt you. Because if I don't forgive you, we did this the other day. Come on. We did this. Okay. All right, just for pretend, though. Good. Okay, you ready? All right, okay. Well, you can get me? Okay, oh Jesus, okay. Touch God. Okay, everybody look at me. First of all, look at how uncomfortable you have to get to not forgive. It's not even comfortable to carry all of this unforgiveness. It's not comfortable to carry this bit. It's not even comfortable. Because now you're normally joyful. Now you're walking around with a stank attitude. And then you wonder why God can't send you your new because he couldn't trust you with your previous. And if you can't be trusted with your past, you'll never be trusted with your new. And I need for some of y'all to let it go because God says, the moment you let them go, your new is about to Okobashaya. The moment you forgive them, I'm about to put what you prayed for in front of your face. But I can't give it to you if you don't forgive. Open your mouth and shout, Lord, I let it go. So you got to make all of these adjustments. You got to make all these adjustments. And here's the thing. I'm about a solid buck 50, right? Solid buck 50, okay? I was 2-something. Listen, won't the Lord deliver you? All right, look here. All right, look, so you got to go through all these changes. You can't even figure out what you're mad about. Because at a certain point, forgiveness becomes, like you get drunk off of unforgiveness. It becomes fermented. It's like wine. It started out as grape juice, and now you're drunk off of it. So when you start talking about it, you're like, they're like, so what did they do? I don't even know where to start because you don't even remember. You don't even remember what you're really mad about.
Okay, so now you're going through all these changes. You got it. And now, so watch me. Okay, don't you drop me. Oh, God. Don't you drop. Why are you moving so much? God, no. Okay, okay, okay. Okay, okay, just walk a little bit. Walk real safe. Watch me. You in Target carrying all this. You at the job interview carrying all this. You ready? Look at me. Oh, God, Jesus. Okay, put me down. Put me down. No, that's, no. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me. It's ready to be released, but you won't let go. I need you to just touch somebody close to you. I'm good. I need you to touch somebody close to you and say, let it go. Let it go. Touch somebody else. Say, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I accept, I forgive, so I can do what? So I can advance. I accept, I forgive, so I can advance. Which means you can't advance until you accept and forgive. So could it be that that happened to you when you were 22 and now you're 42, but you're still 22? Because that's when you stopped advancing. That happened when you were 8, you're now 28, but the truth is emotionally you're still 8. So you haven't advanced from that place, which means you can't advance until you forgive. Now, you said, Bishop, you've had me say that a lot, because here's what I've discovered. Sometimes forgiveness is a process. Sometimes you got to say you forgive 50-11 times before you actually forgive. 50-11 is an urban colloquialism that just means a whole lot of times. So come on, one more time. Say, Lord, I forgive and I let it go. Say it again, y'all. I'm almost done. Say, I forgive and I let it go. Why? Because these wounds actually have the ability to make you better. If you look at Psalm 119 and 71, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn. Which means when I was wounded through actions, when I was wounded through words, what it did is it taught me something. I learned something through a wound that I couldn't get from a classroom. I learned something from a wound that I couldn't get from sitting and talking. Is there anybody beside me where you've gone through some things and you're like, I bet you I learned a whole lot, watch me, about me and people. So the next time I see this type of person, I'll be like, wait a minute, I know this spirit and this is not going to happen again. God bless you, be encouraged, but you were my test just to see if I had forgiven the previous person that had your same spirit. And I choose to forgive, and so that I don't have to forgive somebody else, I'm going to keep you over there. So check this out, check this out. All as wounds heal, they can scar. Naturally, and when those wounds begin to scar, a fibrous tissue replaces the normal skin. Fibrous, fibers. This is often referred to as a callus, right? And that's how some of you all are. You're calloused. Because the truth is you are not the loving, happy, encouraging everybody person. Because as these wounds heal, now they're scars. And so now there's this fibrous tissue that replaces the normal skin. Which means, watch me, which means, listen carefully, while it seems stronger, what it's really revealing is that that's where you're weakest. One of the reasons I didn't like going to the gym for years is because of what can happen to your hands. And even with gloves, I'm here to tell you. Even with gloves, you're still gonna develop some of these calluses. Pay attention. As wounds heal, they can scar. Listen very carefully to this. But scarring can have unintended consequences. What's the unintended consequence? You now have trust issues from a fear of that happening again. So the callus really represents a place of fear because this can't happen to me again. This can't happen to me again. So one of three things develops. You still with me? I'm about to take you back up in the spirit, but just let me teach you for just a second. All right. Number one, here's what happens. You don't trust at all. Some of you, you don't have discernment. You're just suspicious. I got the gift of discernment. No, boo, you're suspicious. OK, Okay? There's the gift of discernment, which is really the gift of discerning of spirits. There's no gift of discernment. It's the gift of discerning spirits. What does that mean? I can see the spirit at work behind someone. Then there's discernment, the skill. The skill of discernment is the ability to distinguish difference. This is black. This is white. I was able to discern that there was a difference. Suspicious thinks everything is guilty. So because you were hurt by a preacher, every preacher's guilty. Because you were hurt by a light-skinned, bald-headed black man. Every light-skinned, bald-headed black man is guilty. Because you were hurt by a white woman. Every white woman is guilty. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing to me? Because you were hurt, watch me, in a black Cadillac. You can't stand black Cadillacs nor black cats. It's just, you're suspicious of everything. Everything you look at with suspicion because you have a trust issue. It has nothing to do with it. It has something to do with you. Here's the second thing that can happen. You don't trust people with you. So it's not that you're suspicious about everybody. You're just suspicious about people when it comes to you. So so when it comes to you, you're like, oh, no, 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 I'm good. Oh, no, no, I got mine. Oh, no, no, I'm going to make sure I'm taken care of. Because since you were dropped by somebody, I feel like preaching now. Because somebody dropped you, you carry yourself because nobody else is ever going to drop me again. The problem is what happens when you're like that man in the Gospels where his friends had to carry him to Jesus because he couldn't get there himself. You're going to have to trust somebody. Number three, you don't trust yourself. And you may say, Bishop, I trust me. Do you? Or is all of that back and forth about your decisions proof that you don't trust you? Because you don't want to make another bad decision, so you go back and forth about every decision. This normally shows up with commitment issues. You won't commit to a job, you won't commit to a church, you won't commit to a car, you won't commit to a lease, you won't commit to a bed sheet. You won't commit to a set of dishes. You won't commit to a restaurant. You'll go in a restaurant, sit down, and say, I don't know. I don't like the spirit on the waitress. Let's go somewhere else. I don't like the way the kitchen look. How did you even see it? So, say trust. Now, how many of you, and you got to be real so you can heal. I'm almost done. How many of you, number one, you'll say that if you're just honest, be real. You're a bishop woman. You're in a safe space and place in the building and online. You'll be honest. You just don't trust at all. Wait a minute if that's you. Right? Number two, you don't trust people but you. Okay? Number three, you don't trust yourself. Some of y'all didn't raise your hand at all. So number four, you a lie. Put your hand up. So what is trust? Say, what is trust, Bishop? Say, teach, man of God. Trust means to extend credit to. Uh-oh. This requires a credit check with incremental increases. So for some of you, here's what you do. You call yourself trusting somebody, and they come in your life, and you give them a $100,000 credit line. Now, check the principle. That's too much too soon. They didn't have to qualify, and you will always abuse what you didn't have to qualify to get. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing to me. It's a privilege to be in your presence. It's a privilege to have your phone number. It's a privilege to ride in your car. And the moment you stop giving your credit away for free is the moment people will respect you. Nobody respects what they get for free. They'll treat it like what they got it for. They'll treat it like what they got it for. They'll treat it like what they got it for. Let me prove it to you. You ever had somebody give you something happened to it? Oh. You bought it? Hey, back up off my shoes. Number two, it's assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of something or someone. All of these things require testing, which means here's the challenge that people have with wounds. Is that one of those three things happen. You don't trust at all. You don't trust people with you. You don't trust yourself. But the challenge is you never get past the trust issue because you never learn to begin to test anything. Everything just fails. Let me back it up and say it real slow. Nothing ever gets tested because nothing is ever trusted. So your default is, nope, I don't believe it. It's too good to be true. Is it too good to be true, or is it just new information for you? Because it may just be new information for you, and that doesn't mean it's too good to be true. You just hadn't had this information before. So could you be missing out on your more because it seems like it's too much?
It's quiet in this building.
Right? Say, trust. Say, Lord, help me to trust correctly. So for those of you, this is so important. For those of you who you violated somebody's trust, and he said, you got me on probation. Absolutely. See how quiet I got? If you're going to forgive me, no, I forgave you, so I don't want to kill you no more.
It's quiet in this building.
I forgave you, so I don't want to hurt you no more. But trusting you is a whole nother thing. You right? You ready? Say, trust is a whole nother thing. So if you violated somebody's trust and they have trust issues with you, then this means you have to be okay for them to take your credit line from $100,000 and run it down to a Providian gold card.
Who remembers those?
And we got to get you a little $300 credit line. It ain't going to always be there, but today, are you catching? This is all I can trust you with. I can't trust you with more than that. So I don't turn your phone over because I can't trust you when it's flipped the other way. That's just too much. You're insecure. No, you violated my trust. So if you want it back, pay up or let's move on. Because you don't get to make me feel bad for doing what a bank does. You don't get to make me feel bad for doing what any reasonable. Y'all not saying nothing to me tonight. You don't get to make me feel bad for doing what the Bible says. Okay, let me go to Jeremiah chapter 9. So either it's a lot of trust violated or a lot of trust violators. Because this building is quiet. So look at Jeremiah. Here he goes again, Jeremiah 9:4. Let everyone beware of his neighbor. Remember, Jeremiah is a little edgy, okay? What does this mean? Use caution. Don't be suspicious, but use caution. If they all, watch me. Can I just give you an example? If you call yourself meeting somebody you're going to date, and you're trying to figure out whether you can trust them, and they tell you they work in banking, yet they on the phone with you all day. It's possible. It's possible they lying. Or they do work in banking, called stealing Social Security numbers and getting credit in other people's names. That's banking. Are you catching the principle? Use caution. Let everyone beware of his neighbor. Use caution. And put no trust in any brother, for every brother is a deceiver, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Here's number two. How do I deal with trust issues? Number one, use caution. If I move slow enough, I'll force motives to reveal themselves. You can't meet them on Monday and talking about y'all going together on Friday. You can't meet them on Monday and then they at your house on Tuesday. When they say, where you live? In the city. Any relationship type. When it comes to business, you know what I'm saying? You don't just, when you have major stuff to protect, you don't just start giving people your business. They have to sign a confidentiality and a non-disclosure agreement. Which means if you run your mouth, you're finna pay me. Some of y'all need to start treating your life like that. I gotta make sure you can be trusted before I start giving you all of my information and all of my. All right. Number two, watch patterns. I use caution. Number two, you watch patterns. Moments lie, patterns don't. Patterns don't, okay? So if their pattern is inconsistent, that's them. You just looked at the two great days, they were really consistent. But if the patterns, I pay attention to patterns because a pattern tells me who a person really is. You're not this moment, you're your pattern. And if you look over time, you can see the pattern. Let's keep going, we're almost done. You getting some out of this? Let's go. Everybody deceives his neighbor, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Number three, don't try new people for old people's crimes.
Well, my ex did this. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Well, my last friend did this. What that got to do with me, though? Learn the lesson, but you don't get to try them for a crime they didn't commit. And for some of you, you're trying people for crimes they did not commit. And they're going to be acquitted for it. What does that mean? Acquit. They're going to quit you for trying them for a crime they did not commit. I didn't hurt you. Your daddy did. Take this up with him. Let it go. Are y'all still with me? You ever had somebody that blamed you for something somebody else did? And you're like, what does this have to do with me? I just can't get over it. Well, until you can get over it, then what we have to do is just, we can't do this. We can't be friends. We can't do business. We can't date. We can't do any of this. We're just not able to do any of that. Don't try new people for old people's crimes. Watch the next part. Here we go. We're almost done. Sixth part. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and test them. For what else can I do because of my people? Number four, you get better, you don't get bitter. You get better, you don't get bitter. Everybody's going to go through trust issues. Everybody's going to be wounded. Everybody's going to be hurt. You literally have a choice. I can be bitter from this, or I can get better from this. You have two choices. Now, for those of you who you want to spend the rest of this year bitter, you remain seated. For those of you that you want to spend the rest of this year getting better, you stand with me in the building and online. In the building and online. And listen, if you ain't ready to, if you want to be bitter, if you want to be a bitter woman, stay there. Just don't be mad that nobody's coming to your pity party. Just don't be mad that people don't want to be around you. Just don't be mad that people don't want to deal with you. Just don't be mad that people don't want to be bothered with that. Nobody has to be bothered with your problems. What did Jeremiah say? This is my wound, and I must bear it. So I'm going to pray for three things. Number one, I'm going to pray that whatever you need to release and let go, that you do that post-haste, that you do that quickly. Look at me. I wish I could tell you that you wouldn't be wounded again, but that would be a complete and total lie. Wounds are necessary in order to advance, period. So number one, you got to let that go quickly. Say quickly. Some of you got to learn how to let, I was sitting at the table and family members in from out of town, and sitting at the table, the way something happened, I looked at it and I said, I'm going to handle this. She said, no, Bishop, it's okay. Let that go. I said, you're right. I said, because me putting energy on that would be a complete and total waste of my energy. Because it's not going to change anything for me. And for some of you, like, no, I'm going to get them together. I'm going to do this. Baby, bye. That's a misuse of your energy. Use your energy to advance your life. So number one, we're going to pray that you let things go. Somebody say that's number one. Some of you need to forgive people. Some of you need to forgive yourself. Because for some of you, all these wounds, here's the truth. You did it. You did that to yourself. You did that to yourself. You ain't even around that many people to be that wounded. You were in there doing that to yourself. You started telling yourself, you're so this, you're so that. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You started wounding yourself. Some of you, you need to forgive a person. How many know you need to forgive yourself for some stuff? Wait a minute. How many know you need to forgive a person for some stuff? How many of you mad at God because he didn't do something you wanted him to do the way you wanted him to do it, and you need to forgive God? Listen, what do you mean forgive God? Not because he did wrong, but because you falsely accused him of doing wrong. God, why didn't you help me? God, why didn't you do this? God, why didn't you come through? God, why this? Why that? Why that? Number one, we got to let that go. Here's number two. Say number two. Number two, you're going to have to make the decision that you will trust. And I will, watch me, I will trust in a wise way. What did I just teach you? You test it before you trust it.
You test it before you trust it. I got to watch them patterns. I got to use some caution. I can't make new people responsible for old people's crimes. I think about that as a pastor. I'm like, I would be a mad, angry shepherd. Diary of a Mad Black Shepherd. I would be a mad, angry shepherd if I blamed and held new people accountable for what old people did. You can't do that. All right? So, number two, you got to make the decision to trust. Number three, you have to make the decision to advance. So we're going to do all three together. Can you just close your eyes wherever you're at? Just lock in for just a second. Did you get some out of this word tonight? Did you get some out of this word tonight? Make this declaration. Say, Lord, and I need you to say it with strength and authority. Say, Lord, I release all bitterness, all hurt, and all unforgiveness against myself, against you, and against other people. According to Mark 11:25, I let it go, and I'll keep letting it go until I don't feel it, until I don't carry it, until it's not bitter, until it's not painful. I learned the lesson, but I got to move on from the wound. Come on, pray with me. Say, I choose to trust. I trust you, God. I'll trust myself, and I'll learn how to trust people. And in Jesus' name, tonight, I make the decision that I've got to move forward. Today is the beginning of the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, release the praise at the level you see yourself going. If you see yourself going high, your praise should be high. If you see yourself doing major, your praise should be major. If you see yourself doing more, your praise should be more. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Now do me a favor. I need you to grab somebody by the hand real fast. We're done. Grab somebody by the hand real fast. You can span the aisles in the building. For those of you online, if there's somebody with you, grab their hand. If not, stretch your hand towards me. So what did I teach at the beginning of this series? Faith works by what? Love. So if the enemy can get you offended, mad with people, all of that, he can stop your faith from working. So here's what you're going to do. The hand you're holding, I want you to represent it. I want you to treat that hand like it represents somebody in your future you're going to have to trust. Man, I just felt that hit the room right there. And I want you to make this declaration, say, in Jesus' name, I will trust with wisdom. I'll use caution. I'll watch patterns. I won't try new people for old people's crimes. I won't be afraid of being hurt. You don't have that power over me. Everything works together for my good. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm not afraid of you wounding me, because wounds work for me. Come on, squeeze that hand just a little bit. Say, I'm not afraid of you doing me wrong, because anything that I do, I'll receive the same from the Lord. I'm not living in fear. I'm not living scared. I'm living my best life. In Jesus' name, one more praise right there, Wednesday. I'm not scared. And you're not going to be fearful. And you're not going to walk around nervous. Look at two or three people say, you're going to live your best life this year. You're going to live your best life. Listen, heads out. Heads bowed, eyes closed in the building and the line. Tonight, if you need to become a Christian, recommit yourself to the Lord, or be sure wherever you're at, tonight's your night. God's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He loves you. Say, he loves me. Say, unconditionally. So tonight, if you need to become a Christian, recommit yourself to the Lord, or be sure wherever you're at, in the building or online, on the count of three, you're going to slip that hand up.
online. You're going to do the hand wave emoji or say it's me. No guilt, no condemnation, no shame. God loves him, some of you. 2,000 years ago, he stepped in a body. That body was called Jesus. That body died so that you and I could have life and life more abundantly. If that's you tonight, tonight's your night. No guilt, no condemnation, no shame. 1, 2, 3. Hands up in the building or line. Do the hand wave emoji or say it's me. Harvest, we're a church that celebrates when people come to the Lord. Everybody, pray this to me. Say, Father, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for your love for me. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you are my Lord and my Savior. Give me the grace to be a faithful Christian from this day forward. If I fall or if I fail, give me the grace to get right back up again. Today is the beginning of the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, you just prayed that prayer for the first time. Take your phone out, scan the QR code on the screen, or text Harvest to 55498. Let us know you just prayed that prayer and enter the option for salvation. We want to get a message in your hands to show you what to do now that you've given your life to the Lord. Some of you are saved, but you need a shepherd. You don't have to live in Denver or Atlanta. You can live anywhere across America, around the world. We'd love for you to be a part of the Harvest Church family. Black, white, tall, short, everybody's included. Nobody's excluded. Say, everybody's included. Mr. Foreman, what do you mean by that? Literally what I said. Jesus died for everybody. And it's important to me that we're always a safe place and a safe space in physically in buildings and online where people can come wherever they're at on their journey with God and they're going to see God take them all the way. He's the author and finisher of their faith. Just touch somebody close to you and say, you're in a safe space. Type that in the comments. How can you ever be expected to change if you can't be in a safe place in space? All right. Listen, if you came in late, you weren't able to give, get your giving ready. If you're going to sow the seed, we're going to get that ready. Here's our seed tonight. It's right there from that scripture, Jeremiah 10:19. That's interesting. We've been sowing that a lot. 19 is our seed tonight. 19 is our seed. We're going to sow the seed tonight. We're going to sow the seed tonight. And what does that mean, Bishop? Literally, when you talk about sowing the seed in 1 Samuel chapter 9, when the man of God gave them instructions, I'm just getting my seed in the ground. When the man of God gave them instructions, the Bible says that they literally sowed. And they said, what shall we give to the man of God to seal the instruction that we've heard? I hadn't done that until May of 2022, so we're coming up on 2 years of doing that. And the Lord said, every prayer, every message, I want you to challenge the people. So I said, everyone, God? He said, yep. He said, because I'm going to begin to release wealth into the hands of the people of Harvest. And he's doing it. I think there's some witnesses in this building that he's doing it. There's some people online. He's doing it. And so we're just obeying God. Listen, you can never outgive God. I'm a sower. That's why favor tracks me down. Money tracks me down. Opportunity tracks me down. There's nothing I want I can't get. I just like a good deal. You look at somebody and say, there's nothing I want I can't get. Say, but I'm not paying full price. The devil is a lie. We don't, when you have favor, you say, that's their price. What's mine? When you have favor, I say, I know you don't normally do this for everybody, but I'm not everybody. I'm a sower. Therefore, I must flourish. Come on, lift your giving to the Lord in the building and online. How can you give it? Use the Cash App. $ Bishop Foreman with the number 2. PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, Givelify. That's available. The email is hello@harvestchurch.church. Mail it to P.O. Box 441004, Aurora, Colorado, 844. Or scan the QR code on the screen. I love you, Harvest. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I seal the word that I've heard. I will have unusual love because of trust. My trust is being restored. Woo! In myself. My trust is being restored in you, great God, and I will trust people in a wise way this time. In Jesus' name, I won't be afraid. I won't walk around scared. This is my year of more. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, Bassett, you're Bassett here at Grape Sheet. For my online fam, you can use the QR code or one of the digital methods to give. Don't forget pop-ups tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. We'll be in this building at 9:15 on Sunday. It's the first Sunday of the month of March.
and be in this building, and then online 9:15, 11:15, 1:15, 4 and 7, 5 times on Sunday morning. There'll be no Atlanta interest service on this coming Sunday. Our interest services were simply designed to build that initial launch team. And guys, it blessed me so much when we were walking through that particular property on Sunday to see that the vast majority of our Atlanta Dream Team, they were in the spot, ready to go to make it happen. Can you clap it up for your family in another city? Can we clap it up for our family online? In fact, I think we got somebody from online that's in here. Where are you from? Jackson Duval. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Everybody in this section, y'all just got to flood her with hugs and love tonight. Anybody else from another city? Anybody else from another city? Okay, nobody else from another city. Okay, let's do it together, everybody. Love God, love people, and love life. Hug two or three people on your way out.